It's Tuesday afternoon, May 3rd. Lord, we just ask that you'd have your presence here today, that you would let the Holy Spirit flow, and that you would guide us into new and deeper truths, Lord God, and that you would continue to let us feel your love and your grace and your mercy as we walk towards you and walk toward the light that you're bringing. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Well, I kind of scared everybody Sunday, but I haven't coughed since.
I don't think you scared anyone, Grandpa. And that's just something that the devil's put in your head. And you need to rebuke that.
I did. That's the one thing about me. I don't want to be a distraction or anything for anybody. And so what happens? I got a cough that I couldn't control. But I haven't coughed. I coughed once since.
Well, I kind of echo what Kirk said. Feel free to be a distraction any time. It's not going to hinder us.
No.
Well, I'll tell everybody where I'm at. There's a scripture that has an unbelievable effect on me. And it's in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And you've heard me talk about it a number of times. But anyway, it says in verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. No matter what they're doing over in Ukraine. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It doesn't say we don't have weapons. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So that our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. See, that's what we have been doing for quite a while. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The devil now, I don't know how this all fits, but the devil was thinking that he was equal to God. You know, we see a lot of that, and we see it in the 28th chapter or 26th chapter of
28 Ezekiel 28,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
And we would never know that there's a reference to the devil, except that it makes it pretty obvious what that's talking about. You know, he was in the Garden of Eden, but he became an awesome angel, and he became so beautiful and so whatever that he considered himself equal to God. And I think that's why it tells us in, this may be wrong, but it tells us in the second chapter of Philippians, it says, he thought equality with God was not a thing to be, I don't know, how did I say that?
Not robbery.
Yeah.
Robbery to consider himself equal to God.
Yeah. And it's almost like, this is a a reference to what the devil thought he was. There is no other God. There is no equality anywhere with God. And Jesus let us know that he was not equal to God. He thought it was something that was... It wouldn't be wrong to be equal to God. But he thought... He didn't think of it as something to be grasped. Or how does it say it? He didn't think of equality with God as a thing to be...
Philippians
2. Verse 6.
Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men.
Now, did he have a choice? Or was that who he was? I don't know if you understand me.
What?
He was a man. And he understood that he was a man.
Yeah, right. I think it was his free will to decide whether he thought he was equal to God or not. Just like it's our free will to think whether we're equal to God or not. Just think we're farther enough away that we don't really entertain it very much.
No.
Speak for yourself.
Well, all right. Yeah. I'm speaking fully for myself, yeah.
And me.
But I, to your point, Keith, that I think he's exercising his will to recognize who he is and who God is.
Exactly.
And that is a mistake that Lucifer made, right?
Which is totally different than the devil, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
And so the devil, in a sense, the devil was trying to get what Jesus was. He was trying to become what Jesus was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not that he was what Jesus was, but I'm trying.
He might need to.
He was trying to become that.
Become what?
How did he? Did he even know that Jesus was going to be coming?
It didn't matter. I'm not saying that he knew that Jesus was coming, but I'm saying he was trying to take the position that God gave to Jesus.
Yeah, he wanted God's position. So obviously, if someone has the position you want, and then they start hanging out second best for that, and you ain't on that list,
so God. God made the devil the god of this world.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Is that true?
That is scriptural.
So Jesus, Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, and he was, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." And you know, it's kind of worded funny in the King James.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He was already made in the likeness of men. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, did he have to? Was this all spoke of him before he was ever existed? And so God highly exalted him, gave him a name which is above every name. Those scriptures have gone around and around and around and around. I play the scriptures all night, and I'm sitting right here and I'm listening to them. This has got to be one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. Is that right?
I sure hope so.
So if that's the case, then how does, and he wouldn't mind this, so I'll say it, but how would Pablo end up with a stroke? With a relationship with the Lord that Pablo has had. All things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. Mm-hmm. I think I got an answer to that. Of course, this happens at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's just me and the scriptures. And I thought, you know what I thought of last night? I thought of Jerome Wagenius. In about 1965, I got a telephone call. I was at Van Dyke Printing, and I got a telephone call from Joanne. She says, Jerome is in the hospital and he's bleeding to death. Basically, that's what I heard, you know. And so I went up to pray with him, and when I did, there was a demon sitting over in the corner, and I don't know, man or woman, but I tell you, I didn't even want to look at the direction of whatever this was. And I put my hand on him, I laid my hand, put my hand in the air, and his mother had been there she was called from Luck, Wisconsin, where they're from, and she had been up there, and you know, and Jerome didn't even know it. And the only thing that he remembered all night was the fact that I was there praying for him. And how would that be? When I talked to him, he was like a vegetable, you know what I mean? He had things sticking out all over him, and blood was dripping off the edge of his plastic sheet on his bed. And I don't like the sight of blood, and it didn't do me any good favors. And I prayed for him, and they sent him home. They said that would probably be his last day on earth because he was bleeding to death. And I prayed for him, and the next morning it was all gone. And they checked him over, and he was so good they sent him home the same day. He was supposed to be dead that day. And it caused him to realize that God was in whatever Joanne and I were doing. And so his wife called us. Well, I don't know who called us. I thought Pete did, but it could have been his wife. And we come over there, and he was on a couch like this. And, he's a good 6 foot something. And he was laying there with his hands on his back, on his kidneys. And he was just moaning and groaning and going back and forth. And he was white as a sheet. And we prayed for him in about, I suppose, 5 minutes. The pain was all gone. And he sat up. And he said, I've never had anything like this ever happen to me. And so anyway, that was the beginning of it. And he was healed. But he wasn't healed when the blood was dripping. That was just a sign. So what's happened? What just happened with Papa? You guys have the answer to it. You got a lot more answer to this than you think you do.
Is that why you keep asking all these questions? Because you think we got the answers?
You do have the answers. You guys were there with me when Robert was talking. He's trying to do something. What was it?
I think after Pablo shared what he did on Sunday, a pretty graphic representation that we don't need to worry about the flesh and worry about the spirit.
Yeah. But he wants it. He's been trying to do something and he can't do it. What is it?
Lose weight.
Lose weight. Will this be an incentive to do it or not? It will.
Well, if he has to stay at the hospital a while, he'll lose weight.
but anyway, and I don't say that in any negative thing.
Well, sometimes
I know. But see, they didn't put Don on a special diet when he was there either.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, normally you'd think he'd be on a low salt diet and all that, but he wasn't. So I don't know. You know. So.
Yeah. Well, just your point, though, Keith.
Yeah.
It's likely that God has gotten his attention. And he will probably change something.
I know him so well. And he can do something if he wants to.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and now he has a reason to.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, I've often said that I wish the Lord would just hit me up with a Damascus Road kind of experience, and you could say in a way, he certainly has gotten Pablo's full attention.
Yeah.
So what will Pablo do with that?
Yeah, no, I know what he'll do.
You know what? All I can think is how many times I've heard Pablo say that his flesh is weak and he has no faith in his flesh, and then he loves the Lord. The sooner you come home, the better, and all of that. So I just keep that in mind. Keep it in mind.
Yeah.
Just because some of us want to dispute things that some people may interpret as bad, like having something to go astray with your physical health, that might be the most blessed thing in spiritual reality.
But I'm sitting here thinking, but we are in the flesh, and we have to take care of the flesh. You know?
Yeah.
Because we're in it. We can't. I think we have to take care of the spirit and the flesh both. We can't just rely on one and ignore the other. I may not be saying this right.
Yeah, but I know. And I'd probably put way more importance on trying to be in shape than to rely on God and the Spirit. Because Paul says, a little bodily exercise is good, but walk in the Spirit.
But you're still exercising in that to
yeah,
a point.
Right. Yeah. It shouldn't, what he's saying, it shouldn't
yeah.
overtake your life completely, you know. And not, and then forget about God in the process.
Well, I think, yeah, if you could say that the fallacy is you put too much confidence in the flesh and not enough confidence in the spirit. And on the other hand, I think you have to be concerned about putting too much confidence in the spirit when you're on this side of the, you know, you're standing up instead of not standing up, you know.
Well, and it's kind of dependent on each person's faith. You know, you want to totally rely on God and you have the faith to do it, go for it. You know.
Yeah.
But not all of us are in the same place, so. I know, I think we used to overemphasize the fact that we are a temple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's like, oh my gosh, if you do this, you're contaminating the temple. Well, I don't think to that degree that it's taught. I don't think that's where the essence is. Mm-hmm. The fact is, if you have the Spirit of God in you and that you want that to be important to you, that's what's important about the temple. But, you know, you shouldn't. I suppose you could say if you do things to harm your body, well, then you might be testing grace, you know.
Does anyone remember when Pablo came from Chile?
Yes.
He had a long ponytail, and he weighed 210 pounds.
Basically, almost skinny for his height.
Yeah.
He was skinny.
That's all that's cooking around here.
American bread.
It was bread that did the number on him.
Yeah. Felicity made some Chilean bread a couple days ago and brought some over. And while it was good, I tasted it and I said, I now know why Pablo loved American bread so much, because it tasted better than what he was used to at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chilean bread just wasn't bad. It just didn't have a whole lot going for, had much going for it.
Plus, America is just a plethora of dynamic food.
Well, we got toppings on our bread, right?
Yeah, we do. Everything bagels.
And bagels and sugars and all sorts of things.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's, well, certainly we need to be ready to be able to see God's hand in whatever's going on, and then look forward to the promise that has been made and given to us in the Scriptures. And, you know, our personal experiences, because there are people who have had similar things happen and bounce back really, really well. So, nothing's a foregone conclusion.
I'm going to take just a little bit.
Sure. Pull up a chair, Jack.
Stay a while.
Chuck, don't pull up a chair. You can't sit down. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to sit down. You have to stay standing, Chuck. Don't do it.
I do what I want to do.
Chuck will stand all day. He'll stand all day long. But the second you say, Chuck, don't sit down.
Once you tell him you can't, it's all over.
Oh, yeah.
He'll show you.
Yep.
That scripture you started out with, Keith.
Yeah, you know, I noticed something in there, and I had a question. What is a stronghold?
What is what?
A stronghold. What is a stronghold? I don't know if I ever thought about that part of it.
It would be like a secure place.
Mm-hmm. You know what?
Well, it says taking down strongholds.
Yeah.
Where was that? Where were we getting that?
That was in 2 Corinthians 10.
What chapter?
2 Corinthians.
Yep.
10.
3 through 5 or whatever.
10:3?
10:4.
Okay. 10:4. Okay.
Okay.
Pulling down strongholds. I never really thought about it. So what is that?
Stronghold, like a base. I think a base. What if there's a base of demonic, like a pillar, base camp. That's sturdy and has been there. You know what I'm thinking?
Oh, yeah. But, so it has to have to do with the enemy.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like the demons and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could be something like Russia is a stronghold coming against Ukraine, you know. And so I guess we'd want to pray to pull that down.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, that could be anything that trying to keep you from your Christian walk.
Sure.
You know, a bad habit or, you know, things you want to get rid of but you just can't.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Well, that would, to me, that would be a stronghold.
Yeah.
It's holding you back.
Yep.
You know.
At the last few verses of James, it says, confess your faults one to the other and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availed much. It doesn't even say what it availed, but it avails much. Elijah was a man subject unto like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly. Now that's an important statement. He was subject to like passions like we are. And yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, but you know what? God led him to do that.
Yeah.
And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And we know the story, you know. But anyway, in the middle of the night, among other things, I have really prayed for this war thing over in Ukraine with Russia and whatever else. And they have, is, you know what, it so probably has so happened a lot of other people just like me. And as a result of it, they have made an astounding statement, a strange statement. They said it's almost like Putin and the Russian army don't work together. Have you heard them say that?
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's like they don't work together. And I thought, would God pull down some strongholds to take
you
care
know,
of this?
Some of that too is. You know, Ukraine, that all used to be under one government, and those people were kind of felt related to one another. I mean, you know, they're your neighbor, country, whatever, and they probably had, some of them probably have relatives living in Ukraine, and so I think some of the soldiers were kind of not very enthused about going and killing Ukrainians, you know, which is, all that is part of that too. If we pray, you can cause dissension in the ranks, which God did a lot of times in the Old Testament.
And I, in the 8th chapter of Romans,
you're all over the place
today.
Well, you know, we're familiar with the first verse, and I didn't realize, but a major issue is in the 8th chapter. But I was thinking it was before the first verse, but it's not. It says there's therefore now no condemnation. But in the same chapter, in verse 10, it says, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. And so, in verse 14, as many as are be led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. not even sure where it starts here, but
I just saw something too in there. It says, "He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." That's on this earth. Through his Spirit who dwells in you.
And so, anybody, verse 26 is what I where I was coming to here. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In the 28th chapter of Isaiah, God says, "I will speak to this people through other tongues." And so, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And I don't know that I have an understanding of it, but my prayer, something has changed so drastically in the last month. And it's like I'm expecting God to do things over there that he knows about, and I wouldn't even know what it was that he was doing. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Would God do that over in Russia? If people were praying through the Spirit, speaking in tongues and whatever?
There'd be some manifestation of the Lord.
Why not?
Right.
You know what set me up for this? I started to pray to that end, and I was shaken so bad, and I had such the Spirit on me so strong, and I thought, something's happening here. And I wonder how many other hundreds of people or thousands of people were experiencing the same thing. I mean, it wasn't just because of me, but I'm wondering if there's a lot of other people. You know, we don't realize the impact we can have. Elijah was a man of like passions like we are. And it says here that he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, as we speak in tongues. And all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. But anyway,
now he who searches the hearts, who is that?
That's God.
Well, no, because it says later, it says that it's according to the will of God.
But
in that same verse,
yeah,
I think
but
it's the Spirit.
Be God.
I think it's the Spirit searches. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So I don't think it would say it that way if it was God, would it?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm impressed forgetting that how important it is and how much is being done for us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Well, that's the way it is in the New King James. "For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us." You got the Spirit making intercession for you. And it's according to the will of God.
Yeah,
that's pretty powerful.
Yes, it is.
you know, it doesn't seem like it, but just keep getting, by keeping getting glimpses of these little things, it's going to make a big difference one day. Yeah, because it's all of a sudden going to come together, you know. And I think then that's when all of a sudden our faith is going to be mighty in God.
Well, you could argue that if you're not focusing enough on the Spirit, you're turning away the power of God in your life.
Yeah.
And so if we focus on the flesh and not on the Spirit, and then once we begin to recognize how much the Spirit is doing for us,
mm-hmm.
it kind of, you know, and what I like about this is it talks about, and he that searches the hearts. So, you know, there's a couple of things that have got to be going on here. But I, you know, 26 starts out with, likewise the Spirit also helps with our infirmities. So, you know, that's not saying God, and it's not saying the Son of Man, it's saying the Spirit, which I'm assuming you would interpret as the Holy Spirit.
Well, you know what? I gotta take back something I said, because the Spirit is God.
Well, the Spirit is God, but
it's like He lets it function in a certain manner for certain things. His Spirit. You know what I mean? I just realized, well, in a sense, it is God, because it's the Spirit that is of God, doing those things according to His will. You know. So it is probably God doing that.
Yeah, separating God from the Holy Spirit.
It's like He gave a function of the Spirit that is for us to help us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all of His Spirit, but it's a part of His Spirit that, you know, the Holy Spirit that He's given that ministers to the saints and brings truth.
Yeah. I don't know if this was read or not, but Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah.
Your mortal body. That's the one. It's not immortal. Immortal is when we go to heaven.
Right.
It's the mortal body now that He gives that to you. That's, you know.
That's kind of going back to what I said. We got to take care of the flesh or the body. I don't know. I just don't know, Chuck.
Yeah, we come here every week to find out the more stuff we don't know.
Yeah.
That's what keeps us humble.
Mm-hmm. Well, but all that life only comes if it's through His Spirit who dwells in you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you want the Spirit to be more important, of course.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well, but that Spirit has to dwell in the flesh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it says it'll give life to that flesh.
And then and by having that Spirit in the flesh, it gives life to that flesh.
But it says, therefore, brethren, in 12, we are not debtors. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh.
Yeah. For if we live in the flesh, ye shall die.
Yeah.
But if ye live through the Spirit and be mortified, yes, ye shall live. So it's telling you once again, flesh,
well,
you got to look after the flesh, but the flesh can lead you astray.
I mean, it says you have a flesh man and you have a spirit man.
Yeah.
So you want to make the flesh man a lot less, way less than the spirit man, which we generally don't, I'll speak for me, I generally don't do.
And that's a battle.
Yeah. And it's
yeah.
a battle.
Because yeah, that's not easy.
The flesh is weak, the spirit is. You know. There's a lot of powerful scriptures that just got read today.
Yeah.
There are a lot of them there to be read.
I know it.
Well,
I mean, I've everywhere I've been going lately, I go off a page or two later, and there's another, woo, this is good, you know.
Well,
it's all good.
Yeah, and I know that I've only read them like 15 or 20 times or 100 times already. So
yeah, I just read Suicide. Yeah, I've read this, some of this stuff, I don't know how many times, and didn't see certain aspects there. Or forgot it, you know.
If you really have the revelation and you walk in it, then the revelation you're going to get from the Word is from Him on His time.
Yeah.
A whole lot of this stuff gets a whole lot easier, because you can even start to get condemned because, why didn't I see this before? And you go, well, you know, was it the devil in action, or was it God saying you weren't ready for it until now? And, you know, so I try really hard to say, I'm really glad I see this today. And what happened in the past, I don't care. Because that's, I'm down the road from that.
Yeah.
We were talking the other day, new manna. I'm interested in the new manna stuff. So, but there's been some light here, understanding the intertwining, even within our flesh, about how important the Spirit is to that flesh, where we want that to be. We want to be directed like Christ by the Spirit of God that dwells within us.
And God knows that we're not totally free till we leave this body, this mortal body, you know. So yeah, that should help us turn away condemnation also, because God's well aware that it's a battle and that, you know.
Now listen to these verses. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? It's those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. And we've all heard those verses. Colon. Verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. You mean he's going to speak to them through stammering lips and another tongue? He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. And then he says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and stared and taken.
Isaiah 28:9, for those who are keeping along at home.
Thank you. Jumps around so much, I don't know where I'm anymore.
Yeah, he often tricks us by not telling us where he's going.
I think, is it in there that it shows that it actually, line upon line, precept upon precept, can be positive, but it can also be negative?
You know what? Either way, it's no matter what, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little.
I mean, that makes sense to me about getting truth.
Verse yeah. 13, Isaiah 20:13, I think is what you're talking about.
But it says that if they treat it wrong,
and that's one of the reasons that we keep on hearing the word.
Yeah. Can you speak into exactly figure 13? Verse 13, I think is what you want.
Yeah. Because it says it the other way before that, right? Where is it? Yeah, right before that.